Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through verse 56. The Reverend Don Stein is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
And now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
And indeed he has. Grace and peace be to you, brothers and sisters, from our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He was not about to swerve away. He would not be discouraged from completing his goal. The very purpose for which he took on flesh would soon be accomplished. And that singular work is proclaimed in every single syllable of Holy Scripture. And it is all for your benefit. His work is always for your benefit. It's always so that you might know him and receive those benefits. That's what Philip Melanchthon told us in his Loci. And it is the truth that all of God's children, no matter when they are being taught, should learn to sing and to pray and to keep. And if we should ever lose sight of what Jesus did for us in Jerusalem, we reject all his good benefits. And the geography actually matters quite a bit. Jesus was determined to complete his mission in Jerusalem, and that's precisely why the Samaritans could not receive him. Samaritans had their own mountain, a darker one, and that is precisely why they didn't want Jesus. If he wasn't going to come on their terms to be their hero, they wanted nothing to do with him. And conceptually, you know, we know this is wrong. We are good Lutherans, after all. When we find ourselves with one hand on the plow and looking back, trying to find a Jesus who fits our desires, we cannot help but come back to him in repentance. And so we turn to him, and we see that his face is still set for our benefit. He is patient. He is always willing to receive the penitent. Yet that does not stop the accuser from trying to make a home in our minds, does it? How often are our hearts burdened with whispers of regret or nostalgia or exhaustion or anxiety? How often do we fixate on maybe what ministry could have been if we only had more resources, more contacts, more? How blessed we are that our Lord does not bring fire down from heaven to consume us. What a home the enemy finds in our hearts. Cyril of Alexandria once mused, "As long as foxes and birds have holes and dens in us, how can Christ enter?" In order for the Son of Man to have a place to lay his head, the devil must be cast out. And praise be to Jesus that he doesn't wait for us to get our home in order. Jesus surpasses anything that the Samaritans could have desired and anything that we could ever imagine. Instead, he comes to us in our mess, and he does the work, all for your benefit, begun in you at holy baptism. He set his face to shine upon you, to be gracious to you, and to give you peace. And so he invites you to set your face toward Jerusalem too, not geographically, but in faith. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, as verse 51 says, when the days drew near for him to be analempsios, ascended. And there's a couple of ways we could understand this. Many commentaries state that this verse refers evidently to the solemn ascension of Jesus to heaven, or his exaltation to the Father. And one commentary even goes so far to say, the passion, cross, and grave are passed over here, and the glorious goal alone is spoken of. But humbly, I would offer that overstates things just a bit. First, one always ascends to Jerusalem. It had been that way ever since God's people were still speaking mostly Hebrew. And the Hebraism even sticks here in Luke's Greek. And it was preceded even by another Hebraism, when the days drew near, which sounds just as grand and strange in the Greek as it does to us today in the English. No, the ascension mentioned here is when the Son of Man would be high and lifted up for all the world upon the cross, for Jews and Samaritans and lay people and church workers and for you. His work is always for your benefit. His face was set toward his goal, and he never swerved away. And he encourages you to remain steadfast in sharing that good news. Do not be discouraged, not by the world, not by your own failings, not by those who have broken your trust, and certainly never, ever by Jesus, because you know that his work is for your benefit. We read that he sent messengers ahead of him, or even more precisely, before his face. Another Hebraism there. It's an interesting thought that as you share the gospel, you go before his face. The CTCR folks who are here can fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure that this pericope never appears anywhere in our confessions. And yet, it is a wonderful confession about those who work for Jesus. Sometimes you're the messengers who go before him, and yes, you have his face shining on you, but you're the first one into the breach. You're going into the classrooms and into discussions and onto the battlefield of forming young hearts and guarding pure doctrine, and sometimes the Samaritans reject him. But you keep the joy of seeing him face to face as you do the work that he has appointed for you, where you are in your life. And the geography matters. It's all about what God has placed around you. And so you labor in faith, trusting him, the one whose face is set for your benefit. And when sin or sorrow or failure cloud your life, you set your face to him, the one who took all of your sin to Jerusalem and left it there. And you leave your old Adam, that sinner, there with him. You let the dead bury their own dead. As a kid, I always thought that Jesus had some weird words in verse 60 when he said that. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. I thought Jesus was meaning to leave the dead out by the roadside or something, and quite an image. But instead, he's referring to the Jewish practice of second burial. Over the course of a year's time, the flesh of an unclean dead body would decay into clean white bones. God had performed a miracle. And then the ossuary for those bones would join the bones of those who had passed before in expectation of the new body to be received when the Messiah would triumphantly march down the Mount of Olives and across the Kidron Valley and then ascend up to Jerusalem, raising the dead as he went. Your Lord has, is, and will continue to work that same cleansing miracle within you. And as our days draw nearer to Lent, trust even more in him. Set your face toward him. Do not swerve away. Instead, sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. perform your duties faithfully, and trust his word, though undeserving, thou yet shall find it true for thee. God never yet forsook in need the soul that trusted him indeed. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.